Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and it is the 13th of May 2011 here in Japan, and it is the 12th of May 2011 back in Canada, where I'm joined on the line by Dan Dix of PressForTruth.ca, and one of the filmmakers behind the excellent new documentary Into the Fire, which is available for free viewing on YouTube. And I do heartily suggest that all of the viewers and listeners out there do go and take a look at this video. And once you do, please go and order a copy to support the filmmaker. Dan Dix, it's just a pleasure to have you here today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks a lot, man. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Well, I appreciate having you here because this documentary, I'm not just saying this, is truly one of the most important documentaries I've seen in the last year. It's just such an incredible roundup of the incredible abuses of power that happened at the G20 in Toronto, and such an incredibly important thing to remember, not only for Canadians, but I think for people around the world who live in supposedly free democratic societies and want to know how quickly that can be turned around and changed into a totalitarian police state. So it's just an incredible documentary. Tell us a little bit about this documentary and the subject matter that it covers.
Sure. It basically covers the G20 summit that came here in Toronto last summer, particularly the protest angle, you know, everything that was happening on the streets outside. We pretty much started our coverage, I'd say, about 2 months before the summit actually came to town. As soon as we started seeing a more of a presence of police in town, more private security coming around, and then, of course, they started constructing the fences. We began documenting the whole thing, going out there and just filming everything we could, and putting the information out on YouTube as quick as we could. We did that leading right up until the actual summit weekend, where I put together a team of camera guys, and so we were able to have a lot of people all over the city to make sure that we covered as much as we could. And the film basically goes through what happened that weekend pretty much chronologically, right on through to the whole weekend. We show everything that happened. And yeah, it's been 9 months now, 9 months in the making, that we've been working on this really hard, and just put it out about 2 weeks ago now. And we're really just hoping that a lot of people see this film because, you know, we want people to have the tools for upcoming G20 summits. There's one coming up in France soon. There's another one in Mexico after that. So we want people to know what sort of things to look out for, what sort of things they can do, and make sure that they are all armed with our greatest weapon in this info war, which is the camera. And so, yeah, at this point, awareness is key, and we just want to spread this link like fire.
Well, I certainly hope that people will go and watch this video, especially because it is free online. But you also managed to hook up with Charlie Veach during the Toronto G20. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, when we hooked up with Charlie, he came down from London to help us, you know, document the entire event. And, you know, everything, all the craziness basically started when Charlie got arrested on the Thursday. Under the Public Works Protection Act, he was one of only two people who were arrested under that act for standing on the public property right in front of the fence. And that's basically when everything started for us. That's when he got taken downtown and put into that detention center that is now referred to as Trontanamo Bay. And, you know, actually another interesting thing about Trontanamo is, as you'll see in the film, we have footage, police CCTV footage of all 19 hours of Charlie's incarceration in there. And a lot of people have been asking me, you know, how on earth did you guys get this footage of Charlie? And basically, in the States, it's referred to as the Freedom of Information Act request. But here in Canada, it's called the Access to Information Act request. And what we did was we filled out one of those. We used the system against the system, basically. My associate, Brian Law, producer and editor of the film, filed the paperwork, and we had to get Charlie's permission. We had to get him to sign a form giving us permission to have the footage released to us. And actually, anytime you want to get any footage of yourself from any law enforcement agencies, you can do that. You can file this request, and they legally have to respond to you within 30 days. And so long as that there's nobody else in the pictures or the video, they have to release it to you. So because Charlie was in that cage by himself, there was no privacy issues with anybody else's faces, we are able to obtain the footage. and we included it in the film. But bear in mind, what you see in the film, you know, when that place was full, there were upwards of 30 to 40 guys in those cages. I'm sure you can imagine what it was like in there. It's just unbelievable.
That's right, and that footage is harrowing footage, so again, it is great that you were able to get that. Well, there are so many incredible stories of the people that you interviewed during this documentary talking about their individual stories. Tell us about some of the stories that you found to be most interesting.
Well, one of the ones that I was really shocked by was the story of a guy named Sean Salvatti. This is a guy who was just going to a baseball game here at the Rogers Center. This is a guy who's not really a protester. He wasn't in town for the G20. He wasn't even really sure what the G20 was at that point. And he just left the baseball game, and he casually said to a couple police officers when he was walking by, he said, "Good luck with Saturday." He hopped in his cab, and he was on his way. Not long after, he got pulled over. The police pulled over his cab, took him out, and said, What did you say to those officers back there? Did you say good luck with Saturday?" And he said, "Yeah, I said that." And right away, they took him downtown. They beat him up. They strip searched him. They held him up there for over 24 hours. And, you know, this is a guy who had literally caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. But the good thing is about Sean is he is now a protester. He's an activist now. This has turned, made an activist out of him, which is great. Some of the other stories that started coming in, like the case with John Prine. This is an elderly gentleman. He works for the Canadian government. He was at the protest with his daughter. And the police basically ripped off his leg, his prosthetic leg, and ordered him to hop to the squad car. And when he said, "You know, I can't do that. I'm not physically able to do that," they dragged him along the pavement. They took him down and locked him up. They wouldn't give him back his leg. They told him that it could be used as a weapon or he might have weapons inside of there. So those are the kind of stories that were coming in. And it's just unbelievable. And people need to know that these things did indeed take place. Because, you know, what is going on with our police? How are we getting to this point where they're abusing people like Sean Salvatti, people like John Prine? There were women in there who were threatened with rape and stuff like that. There's the case of the guy, Officer Bubbles, who was going to arrest a girl with assault for blowing bubbles. So this is really why we put all this in there, because we really need to get to the bottom of it all and have a full federal public inquiry we can find out where exactly was the chain of command coming from. There were over 22 different jurisdictions of police who came into Toronto that day. So these guys aren't dealing with their regular bosses. They are listening to the piece that is in their ear. When they're told to march west, they march west. When they're told to kettle this particular group of people because they are potentially black bloc anarchists, they blindly follow, and that's what ended up happening. And we saw the most massive arrests of Canadians in Canadian history, and our rights were completely obliterated that weekend.
Obliterated indeed, just incredible abuses of power and some harrowing stories there, just unbelievable things that were happening, and all predicated apparently on something called the Public Works Protection Act, some World War era legislation that supposedly allowed them to do anything they want and violate the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Tell people about that.
Sure, this is, like you said, it's wartime legislation, the Public Works Protection Act, which was originally designed to protect a public works, like a government building. And during wartime, I mean, that makes sense. If somebody wants to enter a government building, they want to be able to ID you. What they ended up doing is saying that they expanded the definition of a public works to include 5 meters within the fence that was protecting the red zone. But as we all quickly learned, the 5 meter rule didn't matter. They were arresting and IDing and checking bags of anyone all over the city. So they basically used that as an excuse to take away our rights. And the Toronto Chief Bill Blair even said, you know, that, yeah, you know, it wasn't true, but I was just trying to keep the bad guys out, was his response to that. They use this legislation to enforce these laws. And I think a lot of police officers around here are upset too, because they thought they were doing the right thing, and later they found out that they were lied to. So it's another reason why we really need to get to the bottom of everything that happened.
So what have been the repercussions from this so far? Have any of the police officers gotten in trouble for violating the law?
Yeah, there's been a number of complaints going through. There's a lot of investigations currently going on. There's the case with a guy named Adam Nobody who was attacked at Queen's Park, and he had his face broken, his nose and his cheekbones smashed by an officer with his baton. And that officer has actually been charged with assault. So things are slowly starting to come together. You know, it's been 9 months, but some of these guys are starting to, you know, get in trouble for some of the things they did.
All right. Well, just so such an incredible abuse of power going on and just such mind-boggling events that I really do think that people need to go and watch this DVD. And as I said, they can watch it for free online or they can buy it from pressfortruth.ca. Tell people a little bit more about how they can actually watch the documentary.
Sure. Yeah, we put up all of our films online for free. You can watch them at pressfortruth.ca or my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/weavingspider. And all three films are there, The Nation's Deathbed, our last film, United We Fall, and of course the new one, Into the Fire. And, you know, we do need people's support. We put out the films for free, but, I mean, we do need people's support, and that's why we go out, all out on the DVDs. Into the Fire has hours of extra features, deleted scenes, extended interviews. My associate Stephen Davies, producer of the film, put together a behind the making of the music featurette to show you how we did the soundtrack and all that sort of stuff. So if you want to show your support and you like the work that we do and you want to see us continue to do this work, best way to do it is to buy a DVD. And then, of course, we fully encourage everybody to make copies, burn as many as you want, and hand them out to everybody, your friends, your family, and total strangers, because we really just need to get the word out at this point.
Well, I wouldn't be recommending it myself if I hadn't actually bought a copy myself. So, again, I'm really suggesting people go out there and support this incredible work. Dan Dix, once again, hats off to you for this incredible documentary, and I look forward to seeing more of your work in the future.
Oh, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate you having me on, and you keep up the great work too, bro.
Thank you.